Welcome to Near Death Experience Podcast. I'm Chaz Hathaway. Today we're going to share the experience of William, and his experience can be found on nderf.org, nderf.org, the Near Death Experience Research Foundation website. And you'll notice I quote from that one a lot. It's simply because there are literally hundreds of accounts on here. It's probably the biggest online repository of near-death experiences that I've found, and they seem to be completely unbiased. You know, it's just like people upload it, they put it there, and take it or leave it kind of thing, you know. And I don't know if they have a vetting. They seem to have a bit of a vetting system of some kind, because I've heard of people being rejected, but I think more of them are rejected from the IANS website than they are from nderf.org, which means nderf has a lot more experiences. And I'm leaving it to your discretion to whether or not you believe the experience is authentic. So far, I have only shared ones that I think are authentic experiences, which again, I don't necessarily believe in all their interpretations of what they experienced, but I think their experiences themselves are absolutely genuine. That's been my take on it so far, all these ones that I've shared. So with that, here is William's experience. The first part of my experience, the part of leaving my body, that is pretty much the same as all the books and lectures that I've attended and read. However, during the course of my near-death experience, what I felt and understood during the passage through the tunnel or shaft of light was that I was quite extraordinary. Passing through this area, which seemed as if it could be endless, yet wasn't, I could sense those spirits that were in the shadows. I understood why they wouldn't look into the light, mostly because of the religious indoctrination that they had lived by on Earth. They felt that they were not worthy to look into the light because of actions they had done in the human existence. As I passed through the tunnel, I came to the end and saw the most beautiful garden ever. I have to interject here. I had been here two times before, as this was my third near-death experience. All that I experienced on that side, all that I remember, I could not include here. It would take too much typing to put it all in. The one thing I can say, what I went through changed my life, changed my perceptions about life and what life is all about to such a degree that many people that I have been in contact with, it has also raised doubts and questions they have had about their own beliefs. I'm not afraid of death or dying. I don't even care how I die. I have a promise made to me by my Creator. The moment my mission in this existence is over, I will leave immediately, and I don't care how I go out. I just want to go home. Physically, minimal, spiritually, and consciously, extremely alert. To the point that I vividly recall all that I saw and the conversations I had with those on the other side. No, it was real. The only thing I have to add to this, while I was in this experience, I had the pleasure of having a discussion with Jesus. I knew it was Him, and that I can never deny. I also received a wonderful hug from Him. I felt His body with my spirit, and there are times, especially when I do have occasional bouts of depression, I can still feel His physical body with my fingertips, and I know He was real, and that what He brought to the world was wonderful. I could see myself as I am now, yet in a perfected state. I was a bit overweight in my physical form, yet I was in perfect form on that side. My hair was past my shoulders, yet was white, like spun glass. Humility, joy, happiness, sadness when I had to leave. That is kind of difficult to explain. I did and I didn't. I did hear birds singing as well as everything around me, yet it wasn't sounds that were unknown as they are here. Everything resonated with the energy of our Heavenly Father. No music on this earth comes close, yet I still listen for it. That's the end of the experience. And, oh, I wish he would share more. there's some great stuff here. I hope that he put his experience in other places on the site, in which case hopefully we'll sooner or later come across it. But it sounds like this is his third near-death experience. He says he's not going to go into much detail about it here because it's just too much typing and so forth. And if he happens to ever hear this, please record your voice telling your experience. Send it to us. We want to hear it. We want to hear every bit of it. I don't care if it's 4 hours long. We can split it into multiple podcasts or just share it in one. I mean, we can do it how we want. I'd love to share it. But anyway, one of the first things that stuck out to me in this experience is that as he's going through the tunnel, this shaft of light, he says, passing through this area, which seemed as if it could be endless, yet wasn't, I could see those spirits that were in the shadows. So they had like stepped out of the light and they wouldn't look into the light. And then he says, mostly because of religious indoctrination that they had lived by on earth, they felt that they were not worthy to look into the light because of actions they had done in the human existence. This is tragic in my mind, because in my mind, religions ought to be teaching love and ought to be teaching improvement and progression and repentance, absolutely, but not shame. And I can't blame the religions for this, because I don't know their experience. I don't know. There are some religions that do it wrong, and there are others that do it right, yet the people don't get it. And then there are others that do it right, and the people get it. And it's sometimes hard for people to find, and sometimes it's difficult for people to have the same experience. You know, I may go to church, feel enlightened and overjoyed with the desire to be better and to be more loving. Somebody else may leave the same meeting feeling shamed and feeling absolutely, you know, embarrassed and, you know, turning away from the light, so to speak, from the same experience. And that is terribly unfortunate, terribly unfortunate. And so I would encourage this audience, because I can't speak to everyone, I would encourage this audience to please translate spiritually what you hear at church. Because you've heard me encourage you, whatever religion you belong to, go to church, or whatever church you want to attend, go and be of service to them. You know, mingle with that community. Share what light you have, because it's going to be valuable to people. That doesn't mean you necessarily have to get on the pulpit and say, you know, when you die, there's going to be a tunnel, and, you know, you don't have to share all that necessarily. But if you're talking to an individual who is grieving, you may have some things to offer them that way. Or if there's just somebody in need of a smile, or your, you know, helping hand or arm around the shoulder, whatever, you can provide that. And if you know, where else would you be on Sunday? Would you be hanging out alone? Would you be with your family in the mountains, which is great too, but, you know, maybe you could go after church, you know? I don't know. But the point is, be there so that you can help others to translate into what's really intended. Because what I gather from these near-death experiences is that we are here to love, we are here to serve, we are here to hopefully come to know God better. And all of those things, you know, many of the things that we regard as sin are simply things that draw us away either from each other or from God or from self-love or from, you know, for example, you may go to church and they may say, don't join gangs and be, you know, do drugs and shoot people. They'll probably say that. And if you have been in a gang, regardless of whether you've shot people or tempted to or whatever, you may feel ashamed. You may feel embarrassed by that. But take what you've learned here and turn your shame into learning. Because there's no, God doesn't want us to be ashamed. He wants us to grow and learn from our experiences. People have life reviews and they see that they're terribly ashamed by some of the things that they do. And yet they've got this loving being next to them saying, it's okay. You understand. You were learning. You were growing. You were a child. You were experiencing these terrible trials in your life that were taking their toll on you. Give yourself some slack and learn from the experience so that when you go back, you don't do those mistakes again. Or that you can help others who are on the verge of making those mistakes to not make those mistakes. It's not that the religions are there to doom us all to hell and damnation. It's that they may have a different approach to trying to help you to overcome the things in your life that are keeping you back from the love and the light of God. And despite the fact that they may be sometimes wording things that you don't in a way that you don't agree with them, just do a little bit of translation and say, well, okay, I don't agree that, you know, that's going to be the way that this takes place, but I understand what you're trying to do and what you're trying to teach. And so to those others that you come across at church who may feel shame, you can go to them and say, I don't think that's quite what is meant by it. You're not intended to be ashamed, but rather you are intended to learn and grow from the experience that you had. And repentance is what that's about. Which brings up another thing that I found very beautiful and interesting in this experience is how William says that I had the pleasure of having a discussion with Jesus. I knew it was him, and that I can never deny. I also received a wonderful hug from him. I felt him. And then jumping down, he says, I know he was real and that what he brought to the world was wonderful. Let me offer a perspective. There's many of you out there who are Christian. Some of you may even be thinking, well, wait a minute, am I wrong in believing that Christ is the way to God? You know, from what this sounds like, everybody gets there no matter what they do or something. And let me offer a perspective if that's what it's feeling like for you or if that's what you're understanding so far. I gather that this life or that eternity is about progression, about us becoming more. And our coming into this world that is broken, where we're going to make terrible mistakes, where we're going to hurt people, where we're going to be hurt, and where we're going to suffer so much, it's necessary for that progression to be complete, and I hate to use the word complete, because, I mean, you know, does progress ever come to an end? I don't think so. I don't know how that works exactly, but in order for us to really be able to grow and progress, this life is a necessary part of that. And the brokenness of this world is so broken that, in a sense, we kind of doom ourselves by coming, right? I mean, you come and then you do these things that hurt people and hurt yourself and doom yourself and could lead to terrible shame that leaves you in the shadows outside of the light for potentially eternity. Because remember, time doesn't exist. How long have these people who have been standing in this religious indoctrination that they interpret as being meaning that they should be ashamed and are not deserving of the light, how long have they been there? And how long will they be there? My understanding of it is that without what Jesus Christ did, we would all be stuck with that for eternity. Now, this is a perspective that is not unbiased. I understand. I am a diehard Christian who loves my Savior with all of my heart. I absolutely adore my Savior, Jesus Christ. And so if you don't believe what I'm saying, I totally understand. That's fine. But here's my perspective, is that without him, without what he did for us, we would all be doomed to those shadows for eternity. And it is because of what he did that we can have an arm over the shoulder as we experience our life review with somebody there saying, it's okay, you were learning, you were growing. Basically, the message being, your Savior has suffered these things. He's paid the price. He's made it so that it's possible for you to grow beyond it. And yes, there needs to be something of a change. There needs to be something of remorse. But remorse is not the same as shame. He does not want us to be shame. Shame is, if you look up the meaning of the word Satan, he is the accuser. That's what that word translates to, accuser. He's the one that says, you're not worthy. You can't go there. You can't do this. You're not allowed. You've done horrible things. Look at these horrible things you've done. And he's the one that's saying that. While Jesus is saying, come to me. Come to me. I can help. I can heal. I can help you change. I can help you overcome the problems that you have. I can help you overcome the suffering that you go through. I can help you to heal of your physical and spiritual and emotional and mental maladies. I can come to me. I will heal you. I will love you. That's what he's saying. Satan's the one saying, you're not worthy. You can't go there. I mean, think about it. From these experiences, many of the distressing experiences are these beings in the dark who are saying, you're horrible. You're nobody. You don't count for anything. And people actually hear these things. They actually hear beings saying these things to them. And what delivers them from those people? It's that light. When they see the light, and as they go toward the light, or the light comes toward them, whichever way it goes, the darkness scatters and those voices hush because they can't stand the light themselves. They can't stand it. It's too loving. It's too compassionate. It's too much of wanting them to be able to progress and grow and learn and become. I mean, as spirits, like our major focus, our major desire is to grow and learn and expand. We don't want to just sit in the clouds and play harps. We don't want that. We want to have these, you know, have all of the experiences that we can to grow, to learn and expand and become more like God. I mean, we see that light and we say, I want in. I want in. And he grants us enough of it to keep us wanting to grow, to keep us wanting to expand. When you look at the true or the pure intent of religion, and some people miss it, and sometimes even religious leaders miss it, but when you look at the pure intention of religion, it's pointing people to God. And when we look beyond that and start shaming people, we're pointing them away from God. We're indoctrinating them in what is going to put them in the shadows. And that is tragic. That's not what it's there for. That's not what it's there for at all. Yes, we have problems. Yes, we've made mistakes. But that's the whole point of Jesus' coming. Like he says, that I know that he was real and that what he brought to the world was wonderful. I believe that's what he brought to the world. The potential to overcome everything. And because of what he did, even somebody in the deepest parts of Africa that have never heard the name Jesus before, who have never heard of him, have never even heard of God, maybe they don't even have a local, you know, native religion. They just, you know, life is about surviving and then they die. What are they going to see? They're going to see light. And they're going to experience love. And they're going to experience joy and the opportunity to progress and joy and learn and enjoy and learn. And, I mean, if there's one thing that we learn about the other side, it's that we continue to learn. That means there's teaching going on the other side. We've heard about people experiencing classes on the other side, sometimes in a classroom setting, other times in, you know, while zooming through the stars. I mean, people are constantly learning and growing. Learning continues on the other side. Yes, we should be getting as close to God as we can in this life, because we're kind of in this situation that is better to learn those things that we can't learn in the spirit world, so that when we get to the other side and we have this new perspective of what pain and suffering and overcoming and forgiveness and loss and grief and growth and progression are, we can go on to learn the lessons of the spirit so much better than we could without this experience. And perhaps without Jesus Christ, that wouldn't be possible. That's my belief. That's my belief. I believe that Jesus is not just the Savior of the Christians. He is the Savior of the entire world, every living, breathing thing that has ever existed on it, the earth itself, and everything that has any level of spiritualness about it, which is everything in our known universe. He is the Savior of it. That's my belief. And if you don't believe that, that's fine. That's fine. I try to be very open to everyone's beliefs and recognize that there is something in your beliefs that I can offer, and maybe there's something in my beliefs that I can offer, and I know that I'm getting things out of the things I'm learning about what you are teaching me, both you who contact me, as well as the studies that I do in various religions. I love studying religion because there is so much to offer from every different viewpoint. And if you throw out the baby with the bathwater, so to speak, you're going to miss out on great things. You know, bring all the joy, all the good that you have to the table. I'll bring what good I have, and let's share it. So, if you would like to contact the podcast to leave a comment, message, or your own experience, you can do so by emailing neardeathexperiencepodcast@gmail.com. You can either write it in a text form in an email, or you can record it and send it to me. I love being able to put those on the podcast. Also, you can call our phone number, which is 970-NDE-CAST, and that will give you 3 minutes to share your message. After you hit that 3 minutes, just call back and keep sharing your message until you get it all up, and I will splice it together. Easy done in an audio program. So with that, thank you all of you so much again for listening.